My guest at this time is Michael Berry. He's a senior counsel at the Liberty Institute. That's an organization based in Texas that's dedicated to defending religious liberty in America. Liberty Institute represents two chaplains who have been disciplined for simply expressing their faith in their role as a military chaplain. One was a chaplain for a Ranger training battalion who received an administrative letter of concern after a soldier complained that he advocated Christianity and used the Bible during a suicide prevention training session. And last month, a Navy chaplain was removed from his post after he advocated against homosexuality and sex outside of marriage. But in a recent piece for the Washington Times, it's been reported that this is not only causing morale problems in the chaplain corps, but could actually create retention problems and recruiting problems for the military as a whole. And Mr. Berry, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me on. It's a privilege to be with you.
We'll talk about the cases in just a little bit, but what are you learning about what these cases are doing, not only for folks who are and are interested in being military chaplains, but for believing Christians who are interested in joining the military?
Well, unfortunately, a great deal of Americans of faith, which is still a majority of our country, are looking at the environment, the climate that's, you know, within our federal government, within our military more specifically, and seeing, you know, case after case, report after report, and they're starting to wonder, is this going to be a place where I'm welcomed? Is this going to be a place where I'm tolerated? You know, am I going to be required to keep my faith in the closet, so to speak? Or are they going to be allowed, which has, you know, always been the practice in our country up until this point, to freely exercise their religion in accordance with their, you know, their sincerely held beliefs as the Constitution allows? And unfortunately, I've had a lot of, you know, mothers and fathers ask me, and they say, Mike, you know, I served and my son or daughter wants to follow in my footsteps, but as proud as I am of my military service, I'm not sure I want my son or daughter to be serving in our military anymore, given what's going on. That's very scary for our country if that type of conversation and dialogue is now happening.
Do you know of any numbers, whether it's in the chaplain's corps, in the military as a whole, that suggest retention and recruitment are suffering as a result of this?
Well, you know, unfortunately, the numbers that the military releases on retention data, they don't drill down into specifics in terms of, you know, is this affecting one specific segment of the military population? Those individual areas, you know, the chaplain's corps itself would have to report that information. And, of course, our listeners probably are familiar with, you know, the concept that it doesn't behoove the military to report that they're having problems with retention. And especially, you know, a group like the chaplain's corps is not going to say, well, we're having a hard time attracting new chaplains, because that doesn't present them in a very favorable light.
There's a couple of folks on the opposite side of this debate who are quoted in the Washington Times story. One is Lieutenant Commander Nate Christensen, who's a spokesman for the Defense Department. He says the mission of the chaplain corps is to provide care and the opportunity for service members, their families, and other authorized personnel to exercise their constitutional right to the free exercise of religion. And he says the DOD places a high value on and supports by policy the rights of members of the military service to observe the tenets of their respective religions or to have no religious beliefs. So he's making the case that there are not onerous restrictions on chaplains or rank and file members of the military. But what is the real story?
Yeah, you know, that all sounds great on paper and in theory. But if that's true, if those statements from the DOD are true, then why on earth does Chaplain Lawhorn have a letter of concern placed in his file simply because he tried to offer life-saving resources, both spiritual and secular resources, during a suicide prevention training? You know, our military is losing approximately 22 to 23 service members each day to suicide, and a chaplain simply tries to offer some help that could save a life, and he's punished for it because somebody complained they didn't like what they heard. Chaplain Motter, who is an ordained minister by the Assemblies of God, he's a Protestant Christian minister, and when he was asked questions, again, these sailors came to him and asked him, what does the Bible say about faith? What does the Bible say about family? What does the Bible say about marriage, et cetera, et cetera? And he answered in accordance with his sincerely held beliefs, as he's allowed to do and, in fact, required to do by his denomination. If what the DOD spokesperson is saying is true, then why on earth are chaplains like Chaplain Mulhorn and Chaplain Motter being punished, being threatened with career-ending punishment because they hold religious beliefs that are now no longer popular. I would seriously question the DOD's commitment to religious freedom if that's allowed to have to stand without challenge.
A couple follow-ups on what you just said there, Michael. We're talking with Michael Berry, senior counsel at the Liberty Institute. Are these two chaplains the exception or the rule?
Well, I hope that they're the exception, but my fear and my concern, you know, at Liberty Institute, we compile every year, we update what's called our Survey of Religious Hostility in America, and we compile a list of documented instances of religious hostility in our country across, you know, broad sections of society. And one of those areas where we've seen an alarming increase both in frequency and severity is in our military. Liberty Institute represents an Air Force senior master sergeant who was threatened with career-ending punishment because he expressed his belief in traditional marriage. We represented an Army commanding officer who was threatened with punishment because he had the gall to question policies that treated heterosexual soldiers unfairly when compared with homosexual soldiers, and he simply raised the question of whether that was fair treatment for soldiers, and the Army wanted to punish him for that. And those are just the Liberty Institute clients, and folks can go, you know, on to libertyinstitute.org and get a copy it's a downloadable copy of, it's called Undeniable, the Survey of Religious Hostility in America, and see, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg. There are many, many cases, dozens of cases beyond just what Liberty Institute handles, dealing with religious hostility in this country. And like I said, within the military specifically, it's on the rise. And when that happens, people are going to, these military cases tend to get a lot of attention. And that can be good and bad. It can be good because it sheds some daylight on what's happening. But it's bad because then people start to look and say, wait a minute, maybe, you know, the one place I thought was kind of the last bastion of freedom in this country, the military, where, you know, apple pie and the American flag, you know, still reign supreme, maybe that's not the case anymore. Maybe now the military is also succumbing to the pressures of political correctness. And when that happens, people like myself, who's a veteran, when I was on active duty, and I began to see the writing on the wall, and I realized this is not the military I grew up in. This is not the military that I was raised to believe in and to support. It's changing. And I realized that it was time for me to make a move. And, you know, I certainly don't want to see an exodus of Christians from the military, no pun intended. But I'm afraid that there are going to be many who are going to follow suit and start leaving the military. And that's going to create a leadership vacuum and a void. And it's going to have to be filled by somebody.
Mike, just one more follow-up. We talked more specifically about the Navy chaplain's case. Let's talk about the Ranger chaplain's case. What specifically did he mention about Christianity and the Bible in that suicide prevention course?
Well, Chaplain Mulhorn simply mentioned the fact that he himself is a former Army Ranger, which is pretty rare for a chaplain to be an Army Ranger, a former Army Ranger. And he said that based on his experiences, he had suffered and struggled with some depression and some dark thoughts. And he said he simply offered examples of things that helped him. And as a Christian minister, he said that he would read the Psalms from the Bible, from King David, who King David himself was a warrior who struggled with some negative thoughts, if you will, and said that he found some hope and some just some guidance from that. And he said that's one of many resources available to you. And he encouraged the soldiers in attendance, look, you know, you don't have to, you know, by no means is the Bible or Christian resources the only way or even the preferred way. He's saying, I'm just simply giving these to you as an example. And he offered secular resources as well, with, you know, secular counseling services, psychologists, et cetera, and said, really, the bottom line is, if you're struggling, you need to get help, because you can't allow these negative thoughts, this depression to fester, because that's what will lead you to potentially harm yourself. And so that's ultimately his goal, is to keep the soldiers from harming themselves. And one of the soldiers in attendance was an atheist soldier who did not accept or believe in the Christian resources that Chaplain Mulhorn provided, complained. He didn't even complain to Chaplain Mulhorn or to the chain of command. He went and complained to an outside media outlet who then published the story. And that's really what precipitated that whole incident. and led to Chapel Mulholland being punished.
Last topic here, Mike. In addition to the statement from the Defense Department spokesman saying that freedom of religion, free expression of religion is highly valued in the military, there is Michael Weinstein. He's the president of the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, and he's not mincing many words here. He says, quote, you can continue to believe that internally in terms of, you know, sex outside of marriage and homosexuality. But if you have to act on that, the right thing to do is to get out of the U.S. military because you have no right to tell a member of the military that they're inferior because of the way they were born. How do you respond to that?
Well, Mr. Weinstein could not be more legally wrong. The Constitution, federal law, and military regulations all forcefully protect the right of service members to hold and to express their sincerely held religious beliefs. And the military is a very, very high legal standard they have to meet if they're going to try to censor or prohibit the free exercise of a service member's sincerely held beliefs. That's a very high standard they have to meet. And in none of these cases that I've talked about has the military even come close to meeting that standard. So I would challenge Mr. Weinstein to brush up on the law.
Mr. Barry, we'll have to call time there. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you, sir. Michael Barry is senior counsel at the Liberty Institute. That's based in Texas and is dedicated to defending religious liberty in America. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.